a certain way. And so it makes it difficult because it's hard to bring, sometimes it's hard to see unity when there's so much diversity. But God brings us together, and He doesn't just leave us blindly to say, here, you figure it out. But He gives us instructions to say, when you come together as the body of Christ, as the church, in this beautiful diversity, here's some principles, here's some things that we need to do to help this diverse body become a unified body. And so, that's what we're going to be looking at as we look through go through this sermon series and really see what it means to live out what it means to be a Christian, to be the church. And so this morning we're going to be looking at serving one another. And two passages that we're going to look at, Galatians 5:13 and 1 Peter 4:10. And so I believe those verses are going to be up on the screen. So I want to invite you to stand with me out of reverence for God's Word. And what I'm going to do is invite you to read these along with me. Two short verses, we're going to read them together. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here this morning. And now, Lord, as we come to this time where we worship You through the reading and through the study of Your Word, Father, I pray that we would have open hearts, Lord, ready to hear from You. Lord, I pray that we would, that Lord, as we leave this place, that we would take on the attitude of a servant, Lord, looking, Lord, to those around us, Lord, and how we can show Your love to them by serving them. Lord, I pray that You would raise up, Lord, men and women who have the heart of a servant, Lord, who look out for others' interests, Lord, who consider others better than themselves, and Lord, seek to do things for them, Lord, that may not seem like much, Lord, but that can mean the world to someone else. And so, Father, Lord, work in our lives during this time. Lord, give us ears that can hear You this morning as You speak to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. So we're going to look at serving one another and what that means, and talk about all the different expressions of what that looks like. But what we're going to start with is by looking at these two verses and what it teaches us about serving. And we're going to start with Galatians 5:13. Again, Paul is writing here to the Galatians, and he says to the Galatian believers, he says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." One of the things that was happening in the Galatian church was as they came to Christ and experienced this freedom that was found in Christ, their sins were forgiven, that they have this new life, that they've been given the Holy Spirit, and they've been empowered to go out and now live for Christ. And a lot of these rules and stuff that were placed on people in different religions and within the Jewish faith, that those they weren't bound by those rules and those laws anymore. But you had people coming around who still tried to get them to keep the law, to do different things so that they could earn God's favor. And Paul wants to make it clear in Galatians that none of those things are required of them anymore under the law, because now they have Christ. And nothing that they can do is going to earn their salvation. They have this freedom now. But with this freedom, what would happen sometimes is people would say, well, all of my sins are forgiven. And we see this even nowadays, say that this attitude, oh, all of my sins are forgiven, so I can just go out and live however I want to. I can go and do whatever I want. And they would use their freedom in a selfish manner. And so their sins are forgiven, they're feeling good, they're feeling free. I can do whatever I want because God loves me no matter what. And so they would use that knowledge and God's character and say, well, I can do whatever I want. And so, Paul is going to here remind them that this freedom that they were given, he says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, not just brothers, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. He says, you've been given freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And so the first thing that we see in serving one another is that serving others shows selflessness. Serving others shows selflessness. Because here's the thing, when you serve others, guess what it's about? It's about them. It's not about you. This is what he says. He says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Here's the thing is, you have, if you are a child of God, you have received freedom through Jesus Christ. You are free to live, and God gives you great boundaries. And he says, you within these boundaries, you can do whatever you want. There's much freedom in the Christian life. We're not bound by rules and stuff. You know, a lot of people think that Christianity is just a bunch of rules that we're supposed to follow, and superstitiously we follow them in order to earn God's favor. But that's really not what it's about. It's about freedom that we have. Freedom that we now have, we're empowered now to freely live and serve Jesus in ways that we couldn't have imagined apart from Christ. And so we now have this freedom, and he says, don't use your freedom for selfishness. Don't use your freedom to satisfy or as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use, you know, we all have our individual wants and desires. We all have our individual temptations that we suffer. Some of them are common amongst many people. But we all have different temptations, different things that tempt us. And so here's what can happen in the Christian faith is you can say, I've been forgiven of my sins, and so it doesn't matter if I do this anymore because God will forgive me of it. And so he says, don't use your freedom selfishly. Don't use it to serve yourself and as an opportunity, it says, as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use it to serve yourself. Don't use it to do whatever you want. Instead, it says, the opposite of that, it says, but through love, serve one another. And so the first thing, serving others shows selflessness. It shows that you want to put others first. The second thing, in Christ, you are freed to serve Christ and others. In Christ, you are freed to serve Christ and others. So now, because you have been forgiven of your sins, you are freed to serve Christ and others. And so, instead of using your freedom as an opportunity to serve yourself by doing whatever the flesh wants, it says use your freedom to serve others. To do it through love, but to serve others. If you read on in Galatians, the very next verse there. There you go. Galatians 5:13. Missed it. We read Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:14 goes on and says this, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so, this idea of Christian freedom bringing about this new attitude. So, it says the whole law is fulfilled through this one command, that you should love neighbors as yourself. And so, it says, through love, serve one another's. And so, Jesus calls us now in our freedom that we have not to just satisfy the desires of the flesh, but to use our freedom to serve other people. And he says, the basis of this should flow out of love. It should flow through love that we do this. And then he goes on and he says, For the law is fulfilled in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so, God calls us, and Jesus said these words, you know. The first and greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so, it starts with the relationship with God. When we are right with Christ, when we are living in right relationship with Christ, when we are using our Christian freedom in a right way, and we understand that God loves us and He's forgiven us and that we're His child, it frees us to then go and to serve those around us, to love other people around us in a healthy manner. It goes on. So serving others shows our selflessness, and also in Christ you're free to serve Christ and to serve others. And so we have freedom to serve Christ. And if then the second passage that talks about serving one another is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So, when it talks about here, it says, as each has received a gift. So, when it talks about gifts here, when you go back and you read through 1 Peter, what you're going to see is it's talking about spiritual gifts. One of the things, whether you know this or not, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you didn't just receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You weren't just given the Holy Spirit. But through the Holy Spirit, God has gifted you in either one way or a few ways to serve Him. God has given you spiritual gifts. And there's, you can read through passages of Romans and 1 Corinthians, and there's some there in 1 Peter that talks about different spiritual gifts that we have. But there's the gift some people have the gift of hospitality. Some people have the gift of teaching. Some people have the gift of encouragement. And so whatever way God has gifted you, it says that the reason that God has gifted you that is so that you would use it to serve one another. And so we talked about how Galatians 5:13 teaches us that in Christ we're freed to serve. We're free to serve Christ and to serve others. Here in 1 Peter 4:10, not only are you free to serve, it says in Christ you are gifted to serve Christ and others. So you're freed to serve, which means you don't have to use your freedom, you don't have to use your Christianity just to focus on yourselves. You can use it to serve, look at other people's needs, and to serve them. Not only that, it's not only you're free to serve, God has actually given you a gift to use to serve other people. So, here's the thing. Sometimes, if you ever have a birthday party or something, especially when you're younger, people would bring you gifts, right? And they might bring you toys. And what was the purpose of the toy? That you would use it, that you would play with it, right? That it would be something that brought joy to yourself, right? And so you'd open the box and you'd play, get out the toys, and it brings a smile to your face. And while you're using it and playing with it, what happens? Mom and dad, whoever gave you that gift, is like, yes, I did good, and they're happy that you're enjoying a gift. And then 3 weeks later, you never see that toy again because it's old news, right? But we're given a gift, right? So usually we're given a gift, and it's for us to use for ourselves, things that we're going to use and play with ourselves. But here's the difference between those gifts and the gifts that God gives. God gives us spiritual gifts that we would use. So it's the same thing. When you give a gift to somebody, you want them to use it. But usually you intend that it will bring much enjoyment and joy to their lives. Right? You may not be thinking about everybody else that's going to bring joy to. When God gives you a gift, when He gives you a spiritual gift, it is intended for you to use it. But here's the thing. Not just for your own enjoyment, for your own pleasure, but also to benefit those around you, to serve those around you with that gift. And so, you may, you're more familiar with these kind of gifts as parents, right? That you may get a gift of a grill as a Father's Day gift. And guess what? You're going to enjoy that grill and that time with that grill, but guess who's going to benefit from it? Everybody else who comes over to eat, right? The rest of the family gets to enjoy the blessings of the gift that you're going to enjoy using, but they're going to get blessed from it. And we know, and so we see this. We see this especially as parents, that many of the gifts that we get, they become useful to the rest of the family. And the rest of the family gets to benefit even as we enjoy them. And here's the thing, the idea of getting a spiritual gift and using it isn't something that we should think, oh my gosh, God has given me the gift of teaching, now I got to go teach people. Now, great, God, thanks for giving me that gift. Now I got to hang out with kids now and teach kids. No, it's for your enjoyment so that you can enjoy teaching. That you can enjoy teaching, but at the same time, you're going to be serving those that you teach. I want to take a step, just a sidestep real quick. Just, there are ways that you can serve apart from your spiritual giftedness. So, your spiritual gift may be teaching. And it may be encouragement or one of those things. And you're really happy when you get that gift. But anytime an opportunity comes up to serve in some other manner, maybe it's some physical labor or something else, you're like, nope, I got the gift of teaching. I can't do that. All right? I don't think that's what God is saying here. You've been given that spiritual gift to serve, but that doesn't mean that you're not freed to serve in other ways. Sometimes the greatest service to God requires the hardest amount of work. You know, sometimes we have people, there's ways that I see this in the church. We have folks who come in and clean the church. It's often a thankless job, But here's the thing, if on the weeks that if the church wasn't clean and you were to come in and see, you would notice when it's not clean. You don't, may not always notice when it is clean, but if it wasn't clean, if it came in and it was unclean, you would notice. We have folks who come out and spend a few hours mowing the grass, and they do a great job, and I'm thankful for them. And so they go out and they come and do it, and I think they find joy in doing it. I think they enjoy doing it, but it's not an easy job all the time, man. I've ridden that mower on our grass, on our yard here at the church, and your back is not going to feel very nice afterwards. It's a little bit of a bumpy ride out there. And we have folks who come in and they serve in the nursery. And they love on little kids and they change diapers. We have folks who serve in some of those pre-teenage groups. And I know that that's not always the easiest age to serve in. Kids are developing their identity and they're getting independence and they think they know better than you do and all those kinds of things. But they show up and they teach and they love on them. And they're using their giftedness and sometimes going beyond their giftedness to do these jobs. And so just because you've been given a certain gift doesn't mean that you're not free to serve in other areas. But if you've been given a spiritual gift, you are commanded in the Bible to use it to serve others with it. A few other things that flow from this verse. One other thing. Serving others. So we saw in the first passage, serving others shows selflessness. It's not about yourself. It's not about fulfilling your own the desires of your flesh, but it's about helping other people out. Here we see that serving others shows good stewardship. So you've been given a gift, right? And we often think of stewardship as a money thing. So God has given us finances, and so as a result, as a way to be good stewards of that finances, we give some back to the church to help God's work. We use it to be generous towards other people who may need help. And we do this to be good stewards of the resources that God has given us. Well, God hasn't just given you finances and ways of means of provision for your family, but He's also given you spiritual gifts to use. And so if you're not using those gifts, then you're not being a good steward of the gift that God has given you. And so serving isn't just about being selfless, but it's also about being a good steward, using your time wisely, using your giftedness wisely, and using it for the building of God's kingdom. Now there's lots of different ways that we can serve, right? Some of you are blessed with good voices. And you can use that for the glory of God. And you can use that to serve the church. I know this, when I hear special music sung, and man, sometimes I just get goosebumps on me and the Spirit is speaking to me through those songs. And I'm thankful that God has gifted people musically, right? But not everybody has that gift. Other people have different gifts. And people will be blessed, no matter what gift you have, someone will be blessed by you using your gift. Someone will be encouraged by you using your gift, even if you don't see it or hear about it or know it. If you're using a gift that God has given you, others will be blessed by it. The final thing I want to say, and this isn't necessarily pulled from these verses, but pulled from one of the things that Jesus said. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus came as a humble servant. So the last thing that I want us to see from Scripture, as we're commanded in Galatians 5 and in 1 Peter 4, we're commanded two times that we are, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are to serve one another. We are to serve one another. The last thing I want us to see, based off Jesus' own words, serving others shows Christ-likeness. Serving others shows that we're becoming more and more like our Savior. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus came as a servant. He modeled what it meant to be a servant. And it's most clearly expressed when he gets down at that Last Supper and washes the feet of his disciple. He does the job that the servant was expected to do. But none of the disciples thought lowly of themselves enough to do that job on their own. Instead, Jesus comes forward and washes his disciples' feet. And he shows us what it looks like to have the heart of a servant, even as a leader of people. And so, when we serve others, we are showing that we are growing more and more to acting like our Savior. This is the whole reason that we've been saved, according to Romans 8. That we've been saved, that we've been called, that God called us so that we would grow to become more, that we would be transformed, this is how it says, be transformed into the image of His Son. The reason that God called you out of this world and that He knew you and saved you was that He would transform you into the image of His Son. You'd be conformed into His likeness. And the fact that you have, if you have a servant's heart, if you are constantly looking, how can I serve others? Others in the church, others in my family, others in my neighborhood, others in my workplace. That if you're constantly thinking, how can I serve someone else? Don't think like, man, there must be something wrong with me. People are just using me and they walk all over me. They don't even say thank you. Instead, think, man, I'm becoming, this must be a sign that I'm becoming more like Jesus. Because I'm constantly thinking, how can I put others' needs in front of my own? And so serving others shows that we're becoming more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're called to serve others, right? We are free to serve others. We're gifted to serve others. That serving others shows that we're selfless. It shows that we're good stewards, and it shows that we're becoming more like Jesus. That's all good and great, right? So, but how should we serve? It's not just about serving, right? There's an attitude in our service that matters. Psalm 100, verse 2 says this, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh man, so when you're, why? So you volunteer to clean the church, and you come in and you're scrubbing that toilet, or you're mopping that floor, or you're scraping gum off of something, that, or you're cleaning up fruit snacks that Pastor John gave out that week, and you're thinking, oh, why did Pastor John give out fruit snacks? Didn't he know what would happen? And here's the thing, that if we understand who we're serving, that we can serve with gladness. It is a something that it's not always easy to serve with gladness. I understand this. Some jobs really require you to be forcefully thinking about, I need to be glad, I need to be glad, I need to be glad. Other jobs may tend more to just serving with gladness, but some jobs you really have to think about, okay, how can I do this with gladness? And one of the things that helps me to when my heart gets away from serving with gladness, to get it back to serving with gladness, is to think about this fact. That the God of the universe, who created all things, who could have chosen anyone in the world to do that job. Like, we often think like that God is just up there begging people, like he's some pitiful beggar, like, oh, would you just please serve me, please serve me, please serve me. No, the God of the universe could have chosen anyone. He could have chosen anyone to do that job. He could have chosen anyone to mow or to clean or to preach or to teach. And if you didn't do that job, if you'd have rejected God in doing that job, guess what? He'd have chosen someone else to do it. The God of the universe, the God who created and spoke all things into existence, loved you so much that not only did He save you, but He called you to serve Him. It is an awesome thing to think that every time that I get up to preach, anytime I help clean, anytime I serve my neighbors, that not only am I serving people, that I get to work for the greatest boss ever, right? We often think of good bosses being people who are willing to do the jobs that you ask them, that they ask you to do. Like, don't ask me to do this job if you're not willing to do this job. Then we think about Jesus, right? Jesus calls us into His service. He asks us to do some pretty hard things. He asks us to work with some pretty difficult people. Man, Jesus did the same thing, right? He did the hardest thing ever. He went to a cross for us. He did one of the lowest things ever. He washed His disciples' feet. He worked with some of the most difficult people ever. He worked with a traitor and a thief. He worked with zealots who were going around, who wanted to go around and kill all of the Roman soldiers, but also kill any of the tax collectors who were serving Rome. And so one of the disciples was a zealot, right? And then He brings in a tax collector. One wanted to kill the other one, and He brought them in, and He was going to work with them. And He had to help them to get along. And so Jesus worked with difficult people. And so he did all of these things that He asks us to do. So we should serve with gladness. And what probably the last sermon we'll do in this series is the command that we see over and over again, more time than any other of these other one another commands, which is the command to love one another. And so we not only serve with gladness, but the motivation behind it says in Galatians 5:13, through love, serve one another. So we serve out of love. Love for God, that's where it starts. But also love for others. And why do we love others? It's God told us to. Because they're made in the image of God. Because they bear God's image wherever they go. Jesus said, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done unto Me. And so we are when we serve, we don't serve begrudgingly. We don't serve with a sour look on our face. We don't serve out of some obligation, but we serve through love. Love of God, love for people. But we serve with gladness. And this is what we're called to do. And I understand. I try to do this. And it's not always easy. I don't always succeed in doing these things. That's what we're called to do. On a more regular basis, I want to be serving with gladness and serving through love. Sometimes I have to push through even when I'm not glad and continue to serve because God has called me to. And I pray that God will fill my heart with gladness, that I would be able to serve with gladness, that other people will be able to see my gladness. But I also know some people are like me. Like when I just have a calm face, like a lot of people say, like, oh, it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. And I think, no, it doesn't. That's so uncomfortable to me. So I don't always have a smile on my face when I'm glad. And so sometimes people look at me and think, man, he doesn't have much gladness when he's serving. And that's just because I find it uncomfortable to walk around like this. And so that's hard for me. But that doesn't mean that I'm not glad. I hope the words that are expressed, the attitude that is expressed, even if the face isn't expressing it, is that I'm glad to be doing my Master's work. And so this is what I want to challenge you to do every week as we go through this sermon series. We're going to, hitting one topic a week. Today is serving one another. And so this is what I want to challenge you to do is this week, I want you to intentionally think about how you can serve someone else. Someone else in the church family, someone else at your workplace, someone else in your home. And again, there may be things that you typically do that are serving one another, but try to find something new to do, something different to do, to serve them. All right? And it may be, husbands doing the dishes for your wife. It may be doing the dinner, fixing dinner one night. Or maybe serving your kids in some way. Kids, finding some new way to serve mom and dad or to serve one of your brothers or sisters. Or maybe, one of the neat things about churches is when, I've thought a lot about this, is a lot of times when people are going through difficult times, the way the church comes together to serve them. Through caring for kids and doing things to fixing meals and just loving on people in those times when they need it the most. And so figure out a way this week, pray about it, ask God to reveal it to you. That maybe that's what you need to do during the time of invitation, is to say, God, put someone on my heart that I can serve this week. And then show me how I can best serve them. They would know that I love them. And that you would know that I love you because I'm going to obey you in doing this. So, we're going to close with a time of invitation, as we always do. And it's just a chance to respond. Maybe today you're here, and I mentioned that you can't really live out this passage if you're not a Christian. If you've never experienced God's love and what God did for you, and you've never trusted in Jesus, I want you to know that you're going to have a hard time serving with gladness and serving through love towards people that you find unlovely. And it's only until God gives you a new set of eyes through His Holy Spirit that you can begin to see them as God sees them, as people who bear God's image, who deserve to be loved for the very fact that God loves them. And so maybe today you need a new set of eyes, and only God can do that for you. And He can only do that for you if you trust in His Son Jesus, the one who didn't come to be served, but to serve. And it says at the end of that verse that He gave His life as a ransom for many, which means He laid down His life so that you wouldn't have to lay down yours. He suffered death on the cross so that you wouldn't have to suffer death. He endured God's wrath so that you wouldn't have to endure God's wrath. And He did that on the cross. And the Bible says that if you trust in His work, in His finished work on the cross, that you can be saved. You can be forgiven of all your sins. That you will become a child of God. And that He'll then give you a new purpose. And one of those purposes is serving others. But you may also be here today as a Christian. And maybe you know your spiritual gift, and you've not been using it to serve others. And maybe today you need to repent and turn back and seek God's forgiveness and say, "All right, God, I need your help. I know you've gifted me. I need to begin using this gift to serve you and to serve others. I've been a poor steward with the gift you've given me." Or maybe you think about your life and you think, "Man, I've not been serving with gladness, or I've not been serving out of love." And maybe today you just need to get your heart right, so that you can serve God in those ways. However God is speaking to you, respond to Him today during this time of invitation. Let's stand. I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing. Father God, we thank You, Lord, that in Your great mercy and in Your great grace, that You saved us, that You've forgiven us of our sins, Lord, and that you have adopted us as Your children. But Lord, not only that, but Lord, now You have a great purpose for us. Lord, and You want us to use the freedom that we have in Christ, Lord, for a greater purpose. Not to serve ourselves, but to look to others and how we can serve them. And so, Father, I pray today, Lord, for however You're speaking to people's hearts, Lord, that we would see You as Lord and that we would want to obey You today. Lord, I pray this for our good, and I pray this for Your great glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.